Why don't we stand up, open your Bibles. We're going to look at two places. We're starting a new series today, How to Hear from God, Hearing from God, okay? So we're going to look at Hebrews 4:12 and 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay, you there? Okay, Hebrews 4:12. Everybody ready? Go. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Can everyone say alive and active? All right, next, 2 Timothy 3:16. Go. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, Father, we ask that you would inspire this preached word of God, that people would hear the spoken word of God through your written word of God. Will you, God, remove every lie of the enemy that distracts us, that makes us feel like you don't speak to us anymore, that makes us feel like we can't hear you, right? Father, this morning, will you break that lie off of every mind, Lord, that you would put us in our place, that our Father speaks to his children every day, all the time, always, and it is easy to hear the voice of our Father. We thank you. Speak, Lord, for your sons and daughters are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Okay. The truth is this, that your Father, my Father, our Father speaks to us, his sons and daughters, every day. He speaks to us. Even when he's silent, he speaks to us even through that silence. He's always speaking to us. He never keeps his voice, his word, far away from his sons and daughters. He's always speaking to his children. But in order for you and I to hear his voice clearly, we have to overcome, we have to break the lie of the enemy that keeps speaking to your mind that says, God's not speaking to you. You know? And every time somebody asks you, what did the Lord say? I don't know. I don't know. That I don't know, spirit, I'm here to break it off of you today. And many of us, we feel like, I know he speaks. Okay, I got that down, but I don't know. I can't hear God. Maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe I don't know how. Maybe I've never learned. I don't know how to hear from God. Can I tell you that is the lie from the pit of hell? Everything, whether it's good or bad, it is truly according to your faith, according to what you believe. And you keep, if you keep saying, I can't hear God, you're... According to your faith, you're not going to be able to hear from God. So today, you and I, can we do this? Let's set it right. Let's break that lie from our minds, from our community. Amen? There's so many ways that God speaks to us. Okay, number one, written word of God. He speaks to us clearly through the written word of God, through the scriptures. He also speaks to us every Sunday through the preached word of God. And he also speaks to us through prophetic word of God. And you know, we're going to talk about all these things every week, different things. Today we're going to talk about written word of God. But you know, God uses many things. Your friends, your community group members, right? Your pastors, situations, even nature, right? He uses a lot of things to speak to us. Just like Jeremy preached, we have to listen, right? Instead of doing all the talk and get angry or get discouraged, why aren't you speaking to me? Because you've been doing all the talking, right? Jeremy said, right? So we have to listen first, believe that he speaks to us. Second, that we can hear him. And third, we must listen. Amen? So today we're going to focus on the written word of God. Amen? Amen? You know, there are times where when I look back, ups and downs of my life, without hearing the word of God, I don't know how I could stand here before you. I don't know how people could walk through the storms of life without hearing his voice. I remember for the first time, way before, I think, 9, 10 years ago, Benjamin and I was able to finally buy our first home, right? It was miracle, right? God opened many doors for us to be able to buy it. But you know what? Within a few years, we were losing, right? The economy went bad, and we were going to lose our home. And first, you know, the enemies, the lies of them are like, oh, you're going to be all embarrassed. All your church members are going to be like, what kind of pastor are you? You can't eat, right? And it was like, oh, we're not being a good example. You know, we're going to lose our home. And I remember one night, every Friday night, we used to do night watch, right? And as I'm praying, God, what's going on? We know you opened the doors, but why are we losing our home? And I was just like struggling, and I was like asking the Lord, what's going on? And this is what the Lord spoke to me at that time. He said, Sonny, send Ishmael away, for I have an Isaac prepared for you. And I thought, wow, me giving up this two-bedroom condo, God is saying, that's Ishmael. I'm about to give you, I have Isaac prepared. And when I heard that, I wasn't embarrassed anymore. I wasn't afraid of being judged anymore because I heard the voice of God. You know, when tsunami first happened back in 2000, that year, right? I remember Benjamin went first and then we went back again. And on our way to Banda Aceh, right, it's the only area where it's under Sharia law, so you can't preach openly, and if you receive Jesus, you get killed, right? The preacher and the one that receives Jesus gets killed. And as we were going, God spoke to Benjamin and said, go tell my church that persecution is about to come, but not to be afraid. And I remember Benjamin, like, I was watching him at the prayer chapel at Incheon Airport, right? He's all crying, you know, right? I'm like, what's going on here? If we die, we die. What's the big deal, right? He's just crying, oh God, right? And I'm just in the back, just, Lord, speak to him. He needs to hear from you. What's going on? And later on, what he said was, when he heard God saying, tell my church in Banda Aceh not to be afraid when the persecution comes, because it's about to come heavily. And Benjamin said he really struggled. And he was saying, God, how can I tell people to not be afraid when I'm afraid? How can I tell them to not be afraid when I'm afraid, God? And as he was really struggling with that word, God took him to Samuel. When Samuel was anointing David with oil, when David was still a young boy, he took him to that moment. And then God said, Benjamin, just like I called Samuel to anoint David when he was young, I have anointed you when you were a boy. And in that moment, I have given you everything that is necessary for this trip, for you to go and stand in front of my persecuted church to speak boldly. Everything that you need, I've already given it to you long time ago. And then it took him back to when he was 11 or 9. I get confused. When he was that young, he actually sent a pastor named Samuel to pray for him. And he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that moment. And after God spoke to him, Benjamin wasn't afraid anymore. And you know what? There were only 5 churches, underground churches in Banda Aceh at that time. And we met with every pastor. And everyone we met with, they were so afraid. But as we boldly told them what God said, we just saw supernatural courage come. And God started to work miracles, healing, right? And encouraging his people in Banda Aceh. You and I, if we could hear the words, the voice of our God, we can go through anything. There is nothing we can't go through. 2 Timothy 3:6 we read, right? All scripture. Everybody say all scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay? You and I have no power, authority, or right to choose some. All scripture has been inspired by God. You know, inspiration means breathing life. Can you think of one person that, first person that God breathed life into? Adam, right? When even in the creation, God breathed life. And what happened to Adam? He became alive, right? Just like this. You know what this means? All scripture is what? Inspired by God. It's been breathed, right? God breathed life into it. It means the word of God is alive. Tell your neighbor the word of God is alive. Come on, come on. Come on, Asians. We could do better. Come on. We're my brothers. Come on, Chris. Say it out loud with me. Some of you, the people that are new, I'm married to a black man, so I'm half black. So I need you to talk back to me. Okay? Talk back to me. Tell me to preach. Preach out. Come on, right? Let's do this together, right? The word of God is what? It's alive. It's not dead. It's not just words and letters. It's alive. It's alive. And it's not just alive, just breathing. It's alive and it's active. It's active. It's moving. It's doing something. I remember when I teach our School of War Missions, we talk about weapons of spiritual warfare, right? Worship. There's a lot of weapons when we do spiritual warfare. And the word of God is also one of the most powerful spiritual weapon when we do spiritual warfare. And one of the examples that we give is this. So we have one of our worship pastor back in Emeryville campus. Her mother, well, they all lived in Nigeria growing up. And her mother, Albertine, right, she met this lady from Nigeria. And I don't remember what it's called, this cultic, satanic group. And they wear all white and they walk as if they're like really holy. But they serve not God, but Satan, right? And this one lady that Albertine met was like one of the highest ranking, right, priest. And often Satan, according to her, I don't know if it's true or not, but according to her, Satan comes in bodily form and gives her something to do, right? And one day she came, Satan came to this lady and said, I want you to go to this city and I want you to attack this pastor. And so she had three disciples, okay, all male. What they would do once they received that assignment, what they would do is they would go around that city, not to his home, and they would put up a hut, right? And in the hut, they would chant and they would do all these witchcraft, satanic things, and they would dance and chant and they would start cursing this pastor. And as they were doing that, at the same time, this Nigerian pastor was in his living room just watching TV, enjoying the night. And all of a sudden, he falls to the floor. He can't breathe. And when his wife heard the, right, falling, she was in the room. She ran outside to the living room, and she saw her husband not able to breathe. And in that moment, a spiritual discernment came to her, and she knew this was witchcraft, cursing. And she, instead of, oh God, instead of calling 911, instead of begging Jesus to heal her, you know what she did? Only thing she did was declare the word of God. If God is for you, who can be against you? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. No weapon formed against you. She just started to declare the word of God. As she was declaring the word of God in the hut, outside of the city, these witch doctor, right? And these disciples, as they were chanting, they saw swords, they saw knives, coming at them. And they were so scared in their vision, they turned back and they ran away. About five to six weeks later, this lady gets up and she was in the hospital. And she found out that all three of her disciples were dead. And she realized, wow, I dedicated my life to Satan thinking he was the most powerful being, but I was wrong. And as soon as she realized that, she went on her knees and she just simply prayed, Jesus, I realize now that you are the most powerful. Can you forgive me? Can you receive me? In that moment, Jesus came and Jesus received her. And she's still alive and now she's serving the Lord. The Word of God is alive. Everybody say alive. The Word of God is active. Everybody say active. You know, a few years ago, many of you probably heard this many times. Sorry for those that heard this many times. But there's so many new faces. They need to hear this, right? 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 Three years ago, even I and my team were coming from Telos Island to Nias Island, which is about a four-hour speed boat ride, okay? So Telos Island was least reached island. And at first time we went there, we saw so many people demonized. Like, I felt like I was, like, in a movie, right? Every time we had service and every time we worshiped or we preach or we pray, people would just, like, fall and slither, like, from one end to the other. And all of our church, our lead, I mean, we, thank God, we trained them, right? So they were like, whoa, right? And from that island, right, and we had a powerful time there, and then we were going back to Nias where our churches and our orphanage is at. About an hour away, it started to rain. The storm came. The waves were higher than our boat. The water was coming in. The engine was falling off, and they had to keep reaching to grab it before, you know, they lost, right? And we were just going crazy. And then our interpreter was, like, almost teary-eyed and just, like, praying in tongues and, like, oh, Jesus, right? Jesus. And then I looked around, and my team members were, like, all praying in tongues, right, and just, like, looking around to see what's going on. And I remember in that moment, I didn't know what to do. I'm thinking, I'm the leader, I'm the pastor, but I have no idea what's going on or what I'm supposed to do. Should I get a bucket to get all the water out? Should I freak out? Should I pray in tongues and declare, you know, command the water to cease? Like, I just didn't know what to do. So I remember I just looked around. People are freaking out. Engine is falling off. The waves are higher. And I just asked Jesus, I just need a word from you. What do you want me to do? And you know what? He said one word. He said, sleep. And that word took me back to the word, written word of God, where Jesus slept in the midst of the storm. And so you know what I did? I didn't say a word to my team members. I didn't even give them an eye contact. I just, okay. And I just crawled to the front and I laid on top of the luggage and I just said one prayer. God, without storm, without stopping, it takes about 4 hours from Telos to Nias. Take us there under 4 hours. And I went to sleep. And even last night, do you know how long it took me to fall asleep? Like more than 2 hours. But in that moment, it was supernatural because I obeyed the voice of God. As soon as I prayed that prayer and I put my head down, I was dead asleep. And then when I woke up with excitement, I looked at the time and I looked. Nias Island was in front of us and it took less than 3 hours. All we need, amen. Yeah, give him praise. All we need is the word from God. But how do I know when I heard sleep, how do I know that was really God? How do I discern? Is it just me? Did I just make that up? Or is Satan trying to deceive me so everybody could drown and die while I sleep? How do I know that one verse was from the Lord? As soon as I heard sleep. Oh, man, my Bible is in there. Can you take the Bible out? Imagine a Bible in my hand. How do I know? Because of the written word of God. Because I read it over and over and over again in the Gospels. Here, the written word of God, inspired by God. Here, I read about Jesus sleeping in the midst of the storm. And as long as Jesus was on the boat, if you freak out, you're just going to spend that time freaking out. Or you could trust and rest. I don't know what you're going through in your life. Maybe some kind of storm. Financial, relational, spiritual. I don't know. But in the midst of the storm, you are able to hear from God. And when you hear the voice of the Lord, you don't have to waste your time or energy. You understand? You could rest. You could rest in Him because you trust in Him. Amen? All Scripture. Everybody say all Scripture. It says it is profitable for doctrine. Benjamin did this research on behalf of me. Profitable in Greek is ophelimos. Everybody say ophelimos. Okay? The definition is helpful, beneficial, serviceable, advantageous. Okay? And according to that, there are correct and incorrect ways of using the written scripture. What is it profitable for? Doctrine. Everybody say doctrine. The content of what we believe and teach is here. Bible, the word of God, everybody say the word of God, is alive, is active. Okay, this word of God is the canon, it's the rod, it's the measuring stick, it's the standard for determining what we believe and practice. Okay, if we discover that the Bible teaches something different than what you believe right now, it's not the Bible that you have to change. It's you who has to change. You understand? The written word of God, all scripture, everything here, not some, everything is inspired. God breathed life into it, and it's alive, and it's active, and it's supposed to be the measuring rod, the canon. We all say we believe in Jesus, but you know what? There's so many false Christs out there. I don't know why. Korea is such a small country, there's so many like occultic groups that come out of Korea, right? Like Moons, right? Or Moonies, and I heard about some other ones. I forgot his name. That their followers actually in San Francisco, and they pray all night, and you know they have to sleep with the main God. It's just so crazy, right? There's so many false Jesuses out there. Which Jesus are you believing? We don't just believe in any Jesus, but we believe in Jesus that has been revealed by the scripture. Amen? Amen? We had a member. She doesn't come to church anymore, so you don't have to look around. She's not here. Nor is she in Emeryville campus. I remember she kept coming to me saying, I'm demonized. I'm demonized. Please set me free. Please. And, you know, usually I've done deliverance enough. Okay? I've done it hundreds of times. And now I could see somebody's eyes and see if they're demonized or not. Right? And so when I see her eyes, I'm like, I don't see any demons in there. Right? But yes, there is. I'm like, are you sure? So I'm like, okay, let's go through it just for her sake. Let's go through the deliverance, right? And as I'm doing this, she's like, I could feel demons under my skin. It's right there. I'm like, what? I don't see it. She feels demons under her skin, right? And so she's just, no matter how many times I tell her she's not demonized, she can't believe it. And you know, as I was talking to her more, you know why? You know the foundation of that false belief is this. She kept saying, I heard God. I heard God. And the voice that she hears, everything that she says God told her, it was more judgmental. It was curses. Let's say her name is, I don't know, Stephanie. Stephanie, if you don't wake up and pray at 5 in the morning, you're going to get sick by end of this week. But I didn't, and I tried, but I couldn't get up, so now I'm sick. You see, the voice of God that she thinks she's hearing is not God. And I keep telling her, our God doesn't speak. He doesn't speak curses to his children. I would never do that to Alethea. I don't care how many times she did something wrong. I would never curse her for doing something wrong. No. And I keep telling her, the God that you're talking about is not here. The word of God has to be the rod. Do you understand? The voice that you hear, what you believe, has to match what is written in the word of God. Amen? What does it say? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Right? To prove again. Right? To restore the right state of life and character. You know, one of the examples that I like to give is beginning of our marriage, Benjamin and I, we fought a lot, right? There's a lot of, that's why Mickey and Krista don't fight, because we did all the fighting on their behalf. We fought so much, right? We even fight during prayer, because I want to cry and worship Jesus, and he wants to do spiritual warfare. And then after a while, he gets frustrated. It's like, why don't you follow my lead, right? I'm like, I don't feel like doing warfare. I just want to worship Jesus because I love Jesus, right? And it's like, oh, man, once you cry, I lose. Why do you always have to cry, right? So we just end up always fighting. So in the beginning of our marriage, we fought a lot, even about ministry. I feel like we need to do A, and he feels like we need to do B. And I'm like, no, we need to do A. He's like, no, we need to do B, right? We fought about everything. Okay, this is before Alethea was born. I remember after a while, the fighting was so bad that, I'm just going to say it, that his being irritated the mess out of me. Even when he prayed, right, and read the scripture out loud, I found myself going, ugh. All right? And even when he tries, you know, like, those of you that was at the wedding tries to pursue me. After a while, I'm like, you're not really pursuing me. You're pursuing your own pleasure, right? And so something inside of me, can I be honest? Something just disaligned in my heart. During that time, you know what I felt like? And I told Benjamin, you know what? I think I made a mistake of marrying you. But we're not only Christians, but we're pastors. So we can't get a divorce, which means we're stuck. We're stuck. There's nothing. Your being doesn't please me anymore. I was so mean. A few years later, in front of the whole church, I actually went on my knees before the church, and I repented before Benjamin. Anybody was there at that time? No? Oh. So anyway, at this time, we were fighting so bad that Benjamin kept going to our pastor, Robert. And he kept going, Pastor, you need to pray for us. We're so divided. We don't agree on anything. We're so divided. We're so divided. And Pastor Daniels would always look at Benjamin and say, no, son, you are one. You are one. And I was going to say David. No, Benjamin was saying, no, Pastor, we don't agree on anything. We don't agree on church. We don't agree on value. We don't agree on anything. We can't even pray together. We can't even read the Bible together. Our theology is different. Everything's different. We're divided. And Pastor would say, no, son, you are one. And then he started to teach Benjamin about oneness. That when God made you and Sonny one, before God and before people, he made you one. And the scripture says that no one can divide what God made into one. He said, Benjamin, I was there when you said I do. You are one. And your spiritual reality has to mean more than your physical experiential reality right now. So even though relationally you feel divided in the spirit, you are one. And so Benjamin's like, he's so cute. He tries so hard. He's so obedient. He's like, okay, okay. And so he would, every time, it didn't mean we didn't fight. We still fought. And after we fight, Benjamin would take his Bible, go inside of the room, and he would just say, he would just, what God has made one, no one can. God, I thank you that Sunny loves me and respects me and that I love her. And I'll be sitting on the couch rolling my eyes. He's in denial. He's in denial. We are not one. Every time I could hear him. We are one. No, we're not. She respects me. No, I don't. I was a pastor of Living Hope, your pastor at that time, right? And I was doing this. And then after a while, Benjamin couldn't get through of me. So guess what? He brought Pastor Robert and Diane to my house. And I remember I had no faith. You know where I was, you know, like, remember our Dublin house by the shoes? I sat like this by the shoes wanting to leave. Did not want to be there like this. And Pastor Robert had to sit in front of me and Pastor Diane next. And she's like, Sonny, you are one. Pastor, we're not one. Sonny, no, you are one. Spiritual reality, blah, 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 blah. You are one, right? And I was like, so difficult to really receive that word. And then he talked about big R reality versus small R reality. The word of God, Sonny, the word of God is real. It's the real, real. Your experience may be different, but when you have to choose, you gotta choose the word of God over your experience, because your experience may change and will change, but the word of God will never change. And so from then on, every time he irritates the mess out of me, I would open up the Bible. God, I thank you that we are one, that we are one, that we are one. He loves me. He's not selfish. He loves me. He loves me. I remember one Sunday at church in Emeryville, we fought, right? And he still had to teach men's Bible study or something like that. And I was driving. I was so mad. I was like, in my head, I'm like, you're selfish, right? And selfish bee, right? Like in my head, I'm like, you. Sorry. So that I could do that. Yeah, I could do that, right? No, I'm serious. But then I remember Pastor Roberts, no, son, right? So I'm like, okay, fine. God, thank you that he loves me. He's not selfish. He loves me. And I remember, and thank you that we are one. And I remember, like, up to that point, it's been a few weeks, and every time I declared it, it wasn't real. I didn't feel it. It felt fake. But I remember that moment, right on when I still remember the place where in Oakland, when you're about to go on 580 towards Hayward, I remember in that moment when I started declaring, something shifted and I believed it. And ever since then, it doesn't matter how much we disagree, I still believe that we are one. How did I get there? The written word of God. I lifted the word of God over, not under my experience, but over my experience, over my physical reality. I gave the word of God more value, that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof of correction. He corrected me through the word of God. And that's instruction, right? Instruction in righteousness. It's for our education. It's to train us. I want to look at a bunch of scriptures together. Can we do this? Since I'm preaching about the written word of God, I want you to read and hear from the written word of God. Amen? All right, so Deuteronomy 29:29, it says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow. Everybody say follow. All the words of this law, okay? God reveals things so that you and I can follow, to live according to be instructed by the word of God. Next, 1 Timothy 4:5, okay? Because it's consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Do you need to be cleansed? Do you need to be purified? You cannot be cleansed without the word of God. You need the word of God that's alive and active. Who woke up and took a shower this morning or yesterday? Okay, past couple of days, come on. I don't know about this millennials. Do you guys take showers every day? We have to continually brush your teeth or you would smell, right? Same thing. We need the word of God to consecrate, to cleanse us from deep within. Amen? 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly, everybody say correctly, handles the word of truth, okay? That you don't distort the word of God. You handle it. You correctly handle the word of God, okay? 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living, everybody say living, an enduring word of God. The word of God is alive and it's enduring. It's forever, right? And through that, you and I were born again. Amen? All right, so next is 1 John 2:14. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God, everybody say word of God, lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. You want to overcome the evil one? You need the word of God to live inside of you. Amen? All right, one more. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke. Everybody say spoke. The word of God boldly. Even us getting baptized by the Holy Spirit, getting filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, is to speak the word of God boldly. Okay, next, Barman Declaration. This is what Karl Barth wrote with confessing churches at the time of Hitler. Okay, the only word of God that we hear and obey in life and in death is Jesus Christ, as revealed in Holy Scripture, and we hearken not to the voice of a stranger. You know why they wrote this? Because Hitler was saying that the word of God, what did he say? The word of God was revealed in human nature, and that Aryan culture is the epitome of human nature. That's why they wanted to kill Jewish, right, people and all that, right? And so that's why our German brothers and sisters at that time had to get together and say the only word of God, not revealed in human nature, in Aryan, no, only word of God that we hear and obey in life and in death. That I'm not going to deny the word of God even before death, okay, is Jesus Christ as revealed in Holy Scripture. Isaiah 40:8, it says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. Everybody say forever. Revelation 22:18, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of the scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. We don't mess with the written word of God. We don't add it. We don't take anything out. Amen? Krista, come join me here. I want to end with this. Road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. Even Jesus himself, when he wanted to reveal his presence, the manifest presence, he didn't just reveal his presence first. You know what he did? He opened up the scripture. If you look at Luke chapter 24, when the two disciples that were discouraged, they were walking away from Jerusalem, away from disciples. They were going towards Emmaus. And when Jesus came to talk to them, what are you guys talking about? He knew they were discouraged. He knew they were walking away from their faith. He didn't say, I'm Jesus, I'm alive. You know what he did? He opened up the scripture from Moses, from the prophets. And he went through all the scriptures to reveal himself to the disciples. And once they understood the scripture, he revealed his manifest presence. And when he revealed his presence, you know what the disciples said? Did not our hearts burn when he spoke? Even Jesus, when he wanted to reveal himself to his people, he opened up the scripture, the word of God. We hearken not to the voice of others, but only to Jesus Christ that is revealed in the Holy Scripture. This morning, I believe with all of my heart that God is here to set things right. He wants to set things right. He wants to break every lie of the enemy that kept his people, his sons and daughters, from hearing his voice clearly. He wants to get rid of that lie that says, you can't hear God. He wants to get rid of that voice. He's not speaking to you. Today, he's breaking that off of you right now in Jesus' name. And he is here to put the word of God above everything over your life, above your experiences, above your discouragements, above everything. That today, God wants to release a renewed love for the word of God. You see, only way for you and I to overcome the evil one is for the word of God that is alive and active to live inside of me. So, Father, this morning I pray that you would, God, break off every lie from every mind, from every heart in the precious name of Jesus. And that you would stir up, God, this renewed love and desire, God, for the written word of God. Lord, that we would not subject the word of God, our experience of Jesus, under our experiences, under our discouragements, Lord. But God, that we would put your word in the rightful place, God, above our lives, above, God, what we struggle with, above everything else, God, that we would lift up the word of God today. Father, we repent before you as a house, as a community of believers, as sons and daughters, Lord. God, out of discouragement, out of disappointment, God, we have forsaken, we have put aside the words, the written words, the scriptures. But today we want to lift it up again. We want to fall in love with your word. So Holy Spirit, right now, God, right now, will you stir up our hearts? Will you give us your heart, your understanding for your word? I want to ask everyone to stand up. And I want you to just open your hands like this. Just like one of the songs that we sang earlier. God, we open up our hearts again. Do, God, do whatever you need to do to align our minds and our hearts to the words of God. Father, do whatever you need to do in our minds, in our beliefs, in our community to make us right, to make us align, to love your word, to know your word, to keep your word deep inside, to wash ourselves with your words every day. To hear your voice through the written word of God. That when we read, it's not just words that we read in our heads and we forget. But when we open the word of God, let us hear the voice of our Father. Father, break through on our behalf in the spiritual realm right now, God. Break through, Lord, so that when we read the written words this week, Lord, let it become alive and active in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. And to transform our minds and our hearts according to your word.